James chapter 1 and verse 19, reading through verse 21. James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. And your word is so applicable to our lives that you care about how our actions glorify Jesus, and you also care about how our words glorify Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight as we unpack the meaning of this text, about what it means to be quick and slow and slow. Lord, I pray that you would put a guard over our hearts, a guard over our mouths, so that the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths would be acceptable and pleasing to your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Speak to us now by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know a few things about you. One of the realities that I know about you is that you talk. I know that you talk. Your day is filled with talking. After I very first met Mandy, my roommate was concerned about us. Because he said to me, "You're so quiet. And she has a lot to say." And I said, "It will work out great. Because I can listen and she can talk. And it'll be perfect." And so over the years, we've kind of meshed together where I say much more than I used to have to say. The people who knew me back then are like, "You're a preacher? What in the world happened?" And so we went from there. You talk. I know that you talk. I talk. We all talk. And think about this. Not only, first of all, you talk, but secondly, the world of your words encompass the most celebratory and painful times of your life. The most celebratory and the most painful times in your life are all accompanied by talk. You've heard the words before, those words that many of you have heard that have welled up in your heart with joy. Like, "You're gonna have a baby." "Ah, yes." Or, "It's a girl." Or, "It's a boy." Or, when the preacher stands at the altar and says to you, "I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride." Words of joy. When you knelt down and asked for her hand in marriage and she said, "Yes." Or you were waiting for him to kneel down and ask for your hand in marriage. And you were thrilled that he finally got around to it and did it. So the most celebratory moments of your life. You are cancer free. Those are joyful times and glorious times of our words and words that are spoken to us. But sometimes the most difficult seasons of our lives as well are also accompanied by talk. You have cancer, and it doesn't look good. Or maybe you've heard somebody tell you, "I don't think I love you anymore." Those painful, deeply wounding moments in our lives. Some moments of joy. Other moments of intense pain. So you talk. Secondly, the most celebratory and most painful times in your life are often accompanied with talk. And thirdly, your talk is a world of trouble. The words that come out of your mouth, they direct the pathway of your life in so many ways. Used for blessing, also used to do things and to say things in your life that once they come out of your mouth, you wish that you could get them back in. But we know that words are like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. Once you get them out, you cannot get them back in. They're out there. They're done. They are going to do the work that you intended them to do. And so in a world that is our reality, where we talk, the most celebratory and most difficult moments in our lives are accompanied by talk, and our talk is a world of trouble, James gives us this counsel when it comes to the words of our mouths in verses 19 through 21. And as we talked about a few weeks ago here in chapter 1, James is indeed introducing these topics, and he will come back to the topic of words and speech again, as we will see here in a few moments. There's four main points that I want you to see in our passage today about your words and how James encourages us to use our words wisely in light of these three realities that we've talked about already. The first is this: listen before you speak. Listen before you speak. James begins in verse 19 by reminding us of his relationship to his readers. Look at that in verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." The word there that he uses for beloved is the root word agape. So my beloved, the ones who have this, that I have this sacrificial love for, that we have this sacrificial love for each other, the kind of love that only God can give. He doesn't use the word Philadelphos there. He uses the word agapetos. He uses the word that describes these brothers that he loves in the Lord, these brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, because of this relationship that he has with them. He is going to speak truth to them and admonish them by giving them some wisdom in their lives. Listen, if you are going to speak truth into somebody's life, truth is always most well heard in somebody's life when you speak it to their life, speaking to their lives in the context of relationship. Know that if you are going to speak into somebody's life, it is almost always more effective to speak into somebody's life in the context of relationship, that you love them or that they know that you love them. When you know somebody loves you, you know that you can trust them when they give you counsel or advice to share with you. And you know that they have your best interests in mind. So James is talking to his hearers. James is talking to us. And he says, I am not doing this as a disinterested observer. I am doing this as your brother. I am speaking to you as a family member. And not just a brother, not just as a family member, but a beloved brother, a brother in Christ, a brother in who Christ died for. And I speak to you as a brother or sister for whom Christ died. And he says this, know this, my beloved brethren. You know, love is a critical foundation for preaching. If you're going to preach and don't have love for your people, and you just like to talk and like to study passages and outline and organize messages, there's not a foundation of love there. You're just a clanging gong and a clashing cymbal. You know why I preach? I'm nervous every time I get up and preach, and I'm especially nervous when I forget my notes. But why? It's because I love you. And I love Christ's church. And I want to speak truth to you. Why? Because I love Jesus. And I want to see him more accurately reflected in the lives of his people. And because I love you. And I know that the highest calling, the highest plan in all of our lives is to be more and more like Jesus. And I love this opportunity to be used by Jesus to do this in people's lives. And so James here is giving us an example to preachers and teachers and all of us who would speak into other people's lives. If you're going to have the authority to speak into other people's lives, you must have the authority of the Word of God first, but you also must love the people to whom you are going to speak to. Love is also the foundation of discipling relationships, this beloved brothers. And then he gives them this counsel in this context of love, in this context of the pastor James speaking to his congregation that he loves, in the context of discipleship where he's wanting to spiritually form the people to whom he loves, the people whom he is talking to. Within this context of love, he says, do this first. Let every person be quick to hear. Do this first. Listen before you speak. Listen before you speak. How many times in your life can you think back when you have spoken when you should have listened first? Listen before you speak. So who should you be quick to listen to? Well, I think the scripture is clear that first and foremost, especially in context here, where in verse 21, he is going to talk about we receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I think the first person, the first one that we ought to be quick to listen to is the Lord. We ought to be quick to listen to the Lord in His Word in our lives through preaching, through the speaking of others who are speaking into our lives that the Lord uses to speak into our lives. We should be quick to listen to them. Psalm chapter, let me give you some verses on this. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 says this: I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Being quick to listen to the word of God and hiding his word in your heart first, letting that be a first priority in your life, is a guardian against sin in your life. Be quick to listen. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says it like this, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we know in the Hebrew mind to have heard implies that you have obeyed when it comes to the word of God. In fact, if you have not obeyed, you really have not heard. And so the implication here in this text and in Jesus's words there in Luke chapter 11 is that when we hear, our heart is not just to hear it and know it, but is to do it in our lives, that it change us from the inside out. Be quick to listen. We should be quick to listen to the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a verse you know well. Jesus is saying to the church, by the way, we often utilize this verse in evangelistic context, but who is Jesus talking to in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? He is speaking to the church, specifically the church at Laodicea, right? And he says to that church, look, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And so even we as a church need to be listening for that one who so oftentimes in our lives, when we shut him out, when we try to exclude him from our relationships, from our decisions, from our daily lives, from our workplace, from different areas in our lives, when we try to exclude him, we need to be listening to him for that still small voice calling to us, for that one who knocks on the door of our hearts and saying, look, you've excluded me from this area in your life. If you would but listen, I want to come in and I want to revolutionize that area in your life. We must listen to the Lord. The scripture is full of listening to the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this: so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It doesn't come through speaking. It doesn't come through doing. Faith. How does faith come? Faith comes from hearing. From hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you through his word proclaimed to you. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28 says it like this. Jesus is speaking and he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The implication there is clear. If you are a sheep, you will hear His voice. He calls to you. He calls you to Himself, and you recognize that voice and you follow that voice, and you become so familiar with that voice that you do not recognize the voice of a stranger. I was thinking about this the other night, that my granddaddy was so dear to me in my life. He's been gone since 1997. And I even the other day, I was just thinking, man, I wish I could hear his voice one more time. But, you know, in my mind, I can hear exactly what his voice is like. You know, I haven't talked to him in a really long time. And if I were to hear, if he were to somehow be able to come and speak, I know, you know, one day when I will hear his voice in heaven once again, it will be unmistakable. If everybody is talking and I hear his voice, I could pick that out of a crowd. That is my granddaddy. Why? Because he was such a wise voice in my life. Now, even much higher and greater, infinitely greater than that, how much more should the children of Almighty God, the children of Jesus, His own sheep, how much more should we understand His voice and seek to know discern which voice is His and seek to follow Him? Well, how do you listen to the Lord? How do you get to know the Lord like that? The way you get to know somebody's voice is you spend a lot of time listening to them talk to you. And where can you hear the Lord speak to you? You spend time in this book. Be quick to listen. How do you be quick to listen? Well, being quick to listen means when you get up in the morning, you want to listen quickly. You want to listen to this book quickly. Now, I know some of you aren't morning people, and so for you to listen quickly might be to listen to before bed. So I'll give you that. And maybe you're waking up in the morning thinking about that after you've had your fifth cup of coffee. I understand that completely as well. But the key is that regularly in your schedule, in the rhythm of your life, are you getting to know the voice of the great shepherd, the good shepherd of His sheep, diving into this book, regularly spending time listening to the Word of God, listening to the Word of God by reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God by hearing the Word of God preached? And I know I'm talking to a Sunday night crowd, so I know you value this preaching of the Word of God. But let me encourage you, get that in your regular rhythms. We heard this week that regular church attendance is now defined as what? One Sunday per month? Who decided that? Do you like to eat food once a month? Not a chance. We feed our bodies 3 square meals a day, but so oftentimes we feed our souls one cold snack a month. No wonder we're famished spiritually as a culture. We're not getting in the book, and we're not sitting faithfully under faithful preachers of the Word of God who seek to want to unpack this Word to us and for us. So God speaks through His Word. He speaks when His Word is faithfully preached. That's why I believe in expository preaching, is because what good expository preaching is just listening. Because what I want to do in this pulpit is not come up with new ideas from myself. I have no good ideas that will save your soul. Zero. But where do all the best ideas from the pulpit come from? Is when I just put a big megaphone up to this book and just let it go. And just let the Word of God out and let it work in your life. Yes, explain it to you, unpack it for you, help you understand it, of course. But let the Word drive the agenda. The Word of God is transforming in our lives. So we hear the book, we read the book, we hear the Word preach. How else does the Lord speak to us? Be quick to listen to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. that divine unction, that voice on the inside of us when we are baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit, when we are saved, Jesus by His Spirit comes into our souls, into our hearts, into our lives. He saturates us with His presence. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then we have this still small voice. It's hard to describe the way it works, but it works like almost like a prompting or a leading. So oftentimes that's leading us to say no to sin and yes to godliness, and can lead us to share the gospel with others, can empower our witness. All of these areas, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And if you want to grow in your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, the only way to do that is to start obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then He will speak to you even more. Be quick to listen. Now, I will say this, the Spirit never says anything that's contrary to this book. The Spirit will never reveal anything to you that is not in this book. We must develop the listener within us. Listen quickly to our Lord. Who else should you listen to? You should be quick to listen to others who are godly influences in your life. This is all throughout the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says this: even a fool who keeps silence is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Is that counsel to be quiet and listen to others. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. So being quick to listen before you speak, get all of the information before you speak. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 says this: whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit — that doesn't mean you're awesome, it means you are slow to get angry. You have a cool spirit. You are a man of understanding, or a woman of understanding. We live in an age where people have a deep, deep longing for somebody just to listen to them. You know, and I'm convinced that we will impact a generation here in the Tri-Cities if we become a church that's willing to listen to the generation. And that's not just isolated to young generation. How many people are waiting over at the nursing homes and retirement homes for somebody just to come in and listen to them? It's multi-generational. There was an article just this last week in the Wall Street Journal. It was entitled, Millennials Are the Therapy Generation. It was really interesting what it said. It said, it was by a guy named Drexler, and he gives us a lot of information about this. He is telling us that there's been a huge shift in the culture that we live in. Millennials are leading the edge. They're leading the edge, and others are following them in this. For millennials, we are told, according to the article, going to therapy is just a part of the adult experience. And furthermore, the article is really very quite sad, because in this article, we're told that, quote, many younger people pursue therapy as another form of self-improvement and personal growth, not unlike yoga, meditation, or preventative Botox. End quote. Now, what was that article saying? The article was, my interpretation of that article was, there are really two areas that young people are missing in their life, people to listen to them. One is they're not being heard by their families, because they're living in families of people who are so distracted by their technology today. Families who very rarely sit down over a meal and speak to each other today and listen to a generation, listen to what's going on in the lives of their children, that they are dying for somebody to listen, so much so that they're willing to pay the big bucks just to have somebody sit across the table from them and let them talk. What else are they missing in their lives? They're missing the church. And the church has got to stand up and say, we've got something to say, and we also want to listen to you and help you in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life. You know, there is definitely a place for Christian counseling, absolutely, but there's a huge need in our society if the church would stand up and begin discipling people, begin pouring into them the Word of God, building relationships with them and listening to them about how they can apply this in their lives. Be quick to listen. Secondly, think before you speak. Think before you speak. He says in verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." You know, there's a reason it's been said over and over again, but there's a reason that you have two ears and one mouth. It's because you should listen twice as much as you speak. We should be slow to speak. Listen twice as much as you speak. You should seek to hear a word from the Lord first before you speak and enter into a discussion. You know, we would all, our whole society would be benefited if everybody would put this verse on their Twitter handle or in their Facebook page before they responded anything or before they commented on any article. Before they posted anything online, we would be hugely benefited if we would just follow this simple procedure. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20 says this, "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Thinking before you speak. Why should we be slow to speak? Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Why should we be slow to let our tongue just loose and let it go, or let our fingertips just start going on the texting or the social media apps? Why should we be slow to do that? Look at James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Let me remind you of this passage. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness." Right there is one reason. Slow to speak. "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." There's only one perfect man. That's Jesus. All the rest of us struggle in this area in particular. "Also able to bridle his whole body." Verse 3, "If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look, the ships also, though they are so large and driven by the strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting the entire course of life on fire, and even itself set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile of the sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of the image, made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be slow. Therefore, be quick to listen, slow to speak." Why? Because you need to give the Spirit, the only one who can do it, an opportunity to bridle the tongue, the very thing that James 3 says is impossible for you to bridle on your own. Slow to speak. We must be assured that our tongues are reined in by the Spirit of the Lord, the only one who can tame the tongue. Psalm 19, verse 14 says this. It's a prayer of the psalmist, and he prays, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Slow to speak when you respond to your spouse. Slow to speak when you respond to your child. Slow to speak to that difficult person. Slow to speak when you reply to someone online. Why quick to listen before slow to speak? It's because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You need to make sure that the Spirit has put the right things in so that the right things begin to come out. That God-honoring words are implanted into your soul so that the words of your mouth become a stream of living water to others. What is on the inside will inevitably flow out from your mouth. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Number three, breathe before you speak. Not just think before you speak, but breathe before you speak. You know, there's some times in our lives when we're just taking a deep breath before you respond to somebody is a very wise thing. Why do I say that? And where do I get it from the text? Look at verse 19 again. He says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Be slow to get angry. So many times we are slow to listen and we don't understand where people are coming from. We are quick to speak even while somebody else is talking. We are already formulating our response and not even really hearing what it is that they are saying. And so we, at that moment, so many times, especially in conflict situations, we let anger well within us, either at our own self-righteousness or maybe even anger at God is pointing out something in our life, something that we need to change. And so we wrestle against that and we think, no, I am not going to go that way. And so we let anger well within us and we're driven by the anger of man, which can never produce the righteousness of God, as he says in verse 20. A man or a woman led by his anger and driven by passions will never be driven, where it's not driven by the Holy Spirit, cannot produce the fruit of the righteousness of God. You know, how many times have you said something to your spouse or to your child or to your boss or to your friend or in a social media post that if you had just taken one more breath, one more moment, in that moment even prayed, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, in that moment. Oh, if I'd just taken a moment. How many times in my own life has this been so? Not everything in your life needs to be responded to as if it's a level 10 issue. In fact, if everything's a level 10 issue, you have no room to go and actually really have level 10 issues. Taking a moment, listening first, slow to speak, taking a breath before you vent your anger gives you a moment to let the Holy Spirit bridle you and lead you and guide you in your life. How many times is our anger really related to the reality that we are not so much angry that someone said or did something that is just flat wrong, but they said or did something that will cost you in some way or that you disagree with in some way? Breathing, taking a moment. The word in this passage there for anger in verse 20 is the word orge. It doesn't mean an explosive outburst of anger. It really means a slow burn within inside of you that one day will burst forth in a flood of anger. It's the type of anger that only the Lord sees, but eventually will show itself out in your relationships and in your life. And so James is encouraging us, take a moment, be quick to hear, especially the words, the Spirit, slow to speak and slow to become angry. Finally, number four, let the word transform your words. I think that's really what this is all about here, is let the word of God transform your words from the inside out, not from the outside in. As the word goes into our hearts, it begins to transform our mouths and our attitudes and our lives. I think that's what he's getting at in verse 21. He says, therefore, because of this reality, being quick to speak or quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Take that hat off and put on the hat, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Which hat are you wearing? Are you wearing the hat that says my way or the highway? Are you wearing the hat or putting the word in your heart that says Jesus' way is the only way because He indeed is the way. The way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father and no man tames his tongue except it be by the Spirit of God and the work of Christ in your life. So I want to encourage you as we finish up tonight, look back on your life. Think about today or think about the past week. What is an area or maybe what is a day in your life or a particular moment in your life when you were quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to become angry? Is there a moment like that in your past week where you uttered words or where you texted something or tweeted something that you wish you could get back, but it's out there now? Maybe you need to go to that person and he you're speaking to and say, I need to ask your forgiveness. Or maybe before this evening's out, maybe you need to delete that post off of social media. Or maybe you need to go to that person this week. Or maybe even first during our time of response, you need to go to God first and say, God, no man can tame the tongue. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. And commit this week, God, let your word so infuse my heart and my life that it begins to affect the way that I speak, that it begins to bridle my tongue and give me ears that listen quickly. And Lord, give me life transforming words in my mouth. You know, I believe if we do that kind of listening, that would really show us to be way different than the culture. And aren't we, as the people of God who claim to be like Christ, aren't we to be refreshingly different? One of the first ways people will be able to tell is these people listen. And when they speak, they really have something to say. Let's pray together. Why don't you stand? And let's pray. Let's pray and let's respond together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray this word over myself and over all of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, receiving the implanted word in our hearts, knowing that our words are changed from the inside out as our hearts are changed by your word. And Lord, I pray that you would do this work in our hearts and lives as a church. And Lord, I pray that the implanted word in our hearts would transform our families. The implanted word in our hearts would transform our friendships and our relationships. It would transform us on our jobs. That people around us would even see a marked difference in our attitudes, in our words, in our thoughts. Because they see, wow, you are a different person. And your words reflect something going on in the inside your soul. Lord, I pray that for all of us, that the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth would be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, help us to respond to your word tonight. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There may be somebody here who doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord. You can't get your talk right and you'll be right with God. It's get right with God and He'll work there. He'll work all that out. So if you haven't trusted in Christ, why don't you come? Or maybe there's someone who just in this time of response, maybe you just need to pray and ask God, work in my soul. But however you need to respond, let's respond as we sing together. Let's sing.